I suspect that, like many of you who were here every night this week, I'm a little worn out. There's a little tiredness going around. And yet, in the midst of that, my heart feels joy and celebration to have seen nearly 100 children in and out of this building this week, to have seen so many of you giving of your time, loving on children, to hear some of the stories told by workers and children of where God has been seen. Some of you heard one of the beautiful God sightings during the devotion time on Thursday evening. But in the midst of collecting for this offering, one of the mothers talked about her son, who's been saving money for an upcoming trip to Disney because he's got a couple things at Harry Potter World that he really wants, and together they're worth a little over $100. He has some portion of that, something not quite all the way to his goal yet. But as his mom was saying, "What do you want to do for the offering for Nepal?" he said, "I think I want to give $45, which was about half of what he's collected, I think, towards his goal. To me, that communicates a picture of God who's touching the hearts of children and planting seeds of generosity. Now, some of you also heard his mom offered to split that with him and let him pay 22 and a half, and she paid 22 and a half. But to see both from kids and parents the amount of money collected because of people who are hurting in Nepal. To have kids who know where Nepal is and have a glimpse of what really happened there. It's because of a Bible school that you as a congregation make real through your generous support. Not every church these days offers Bible school free, much less feeding people every night, kids and families. Your supportive budget, your prayers, your investment is a commitment to the children of this church and this community. And I'm grateful for the ways we've seen God at work. Now, I will say, despite the number of folks who have suggested it, I did not wear my pajamas today. If you haven't seen the pictures, there's a couple on the board. I had wonderful rubber ducky footy pajamas that showed up three different nights. I did not pop out of the tent as I did a couple nights during Bible school, despite some folks who suggested it. And I didn't wear my funny hat that was suggested as well. But if you start to go to sleep, I can ring the yak bell this morning. All in all, even though many of us are feeling worn down, it was a week that reminds us that serving God can fill our hearts with joy and with goodness. And it's a week every year that reminds me and sends me back to the passage that we looked at and heard read this morning, to the promise at the end of Isaiah 40. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I'm convinced we should probably make that the theme verse of the middle of Bible school every single year, at least for the workers, if not for the children. But in this passage, as beautiful as that promise is that's familiar to us, there's a powerful promise, a powerful invitation to God's people, spoken to the people of Israel, but still speaking to us today. This passage in Isaiah is found in the chapter 40, that's filled with God's promises of God's power. And this week we've talked about God has power to provide. Some of y'all are still in here, I know. God has power to comfort. God has power to heal. God has power to forgive. God has power to love us forever. We are invited to hold on to the power of God, to believe in Him. And this passage in Isaiah 40 paints a beautiful and poetic picture of God and God's power. God who rules over creation, who counts the stars every night to make sure they're all there. God who created this world with such beauty and attention to detail. God is Lord over all creation. And Isaiah 40 reminds us that God's power is so different than our humanity with our weakness and our frailty that we need to be reminded of the very power of God. This chapter, spoken and recorded by Isaiah, speaks to the people of Israel at a time when they need the reminder. The people of Israel are losing heart. Chapters 40 through 55 of Isaiah seem addressed to the people who have been in exile for a long time. They've been away from home. Their homeland's a mess. They associate God with their homeland, and they have struggled being away, being captives. And for so long, they have wondered where God is, why God hasn't made things right, why they haven't been sent back home. And so, to a people who are discouraged, who are losing hope, losing heart, Isaiah reminds them of the power of God. To a people who wonder if God cares anymore, to a people who are complaining that God's forgotten about them, there's a reminder of hope in this passage. Many of us understand the feelings that Israel is probably feeling. Discouragement, despair, wondering where God is in our struggle. Patsy Claremont, a writer and humorist Christian, shares a true story about her son Jason when he was 7 years old. She sent him out the door to catch the school bus. A few minutes later, there was a knock on the door. She opened it, and Jason's standing there. "What are you doing here at the door, Jason?" "I'm quitting school." "Why are you quitting school?" she said. "Well, it's too long, it's too hard, it's too boring, it's just no fun." And being the wise, caring mother she is, she said, "Jason, you've just described life. Go get on the school bus." There are times when life doesn't feel fun. Times when we feel worn down, defeated. Times where we wonder where God is. Times when life seems to be beating us down. Times when we're ready to run away and hide, to let go of the end of the rope, times when we're ready to give up. But Isaiah reminds us that God is present and God understands, and we need that reminder. Some of you are in the midst of a difficult, stress-filled time right now, and you need the reminder of God's presence and care. And even if things are decent or good in your life, it's hard to watch the news, to read the news, without feeling overwhelmed and discouraged. I confess, just seeing stories of another shooting at a military facility, stories of terrorism, stories of so much struggle, leave me at times just feeling the weight of the darkness. I confess personally, just reading the political rhetoric, the hate, the blame, the struggle from both sides, and wondering, is there any way people can come and work together, leaves me feeling discouraged. Seeing the ways people talk about others, and division seems so present, is enough at times to leave us discouraged. To a people of Israel who were discouraged and wondering where God was. To us in those moments where we struggle and question and hurt. Isaiah speaks a powerful word of hope, reminding us that wherever we are, whatever we're dealing with, God, who created the world, is always present, always powerful. We don't know, we don't understand why everything happens that does. I can't stand here and explain to you the why of so many things, or even the why we don't always get the things we think we need and the things we pray for. But in the midst of our struggles, Isaiah invites us to focus our eyes again on the presence and promises of God. Isaiah speaks to Israel to say to them, your concept of God is too small. You're so distracted with your problems, you're not paying attention to and seeing where God is at work. And in presenting God's response to the complaints of the people through Isaiah, God doesn't try to defend himself. God doesn't get into an argument or a discussion. Through Isaiah, God simply reminds the people that God is the one who created the world, pays attention to all of the stars, put all of the detail and beauty in our world. And we, even in the midst of our struggles, are invited to look and see that God is at work, to believe that God has not been defeated, to know that God can and will work. In the words of Romans, God works all things together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Not that everything happens that is good, but God, even in our darkest valleys, can meet us, pick us up, and create new beginnings. And so Isaiah is calling on the people to wait on God, to hope in God, to look for what God can do next. Now, the ideas of waiting and hoping can be a struggle for us. How many of you are good at waiting? We're not good at being patient. We're not good at waiting. We like to hurry things up. In fact, so many things in our world are designed to help us make things move more quickly. We were having spaghetti at our house last night, and I reached and Lee had, must have found a deal for the noodles, and noodles came in a smaller box than I was used to, and on the side of the box it said, small enough to fit your pan. Now you don't have to break them in half. And I thought, good, think of all the time that saved me that I didn't have to break spaghetti noodles to fit in the pan. What a gift. So many things in society are created to be faster, quicker, and fuel our struggle to wait. And the idea of hope is a powerful biblical concept, but one I think we've lost an understanding of. Think of the times where you use the word hope, where you hear other people use the word hope. It often has that sense of wishful thinking, doesn't it? Ooh, I hope my team wins today, but I'm not sure it really will happen. I hope I get that new job, but I don't tend to have things work out well for me. I hope, but so often when we speak of hope, and I've talked about this before, our hope is not really confidence as much as, ooh, I wish that were true, but I'm struggling to believe it. But when the Scriptures call us to hope, hope in Scripture is a confident, trust-filled expectation that God can and will work. It is a trust that whatever our circumstances, God's not finished, and that God can and will work in our lives. Hope is to believe that God is going to respond and work. And so when we're called to wait, to hope, that's not passive. That's not filled with doubt. Hope and hope-filled waiting is living with an expectation that God is alive, powerful, and isn't finished. To live with the confidence that God is working and will work and will take all that we've gone through to shape us and bring growth. Hope invites us to live our lives with expectation, with confidence, with an assurance and a belief that God is alive and powerful and active. This is the foundation of what it means to live with hope, to live with faith, to live with trust. And we're promised in this beautiful picture that those who wait, that those who hope in God will find new life, new energy, that we will be renewed. But the word translated in most translations as renew really is a different word that in verse 31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Ultimately, the word there translates best as exchange. In essence, what Isaiah is promising is those who wait in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, will exchange our strength for God's strength. We will let go of our lack of power and be filled afresh with God's power. It was interesting last night as I was looking over my notes and making some edits, sitting at the table with my laptop, just as I got to this section, the little light on my laptop came on and said, "Battery's almost worn out. Find another power source." So I went and got the cord and plugged in the laptop, and all of a sudden the picture got a little brighter and the little battery bar started to fill up. And no longer was there a warning that my computer was about to die. The power was longer lasting, more significant than what was there in that little battery. When Isaiah speaks, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength," will exchange strength. It's almost like we're being told we can plug into the source of new strength, God's power, God's care, God's presence, and our strength can be renewed. We can find that we can trust God and find Him faithful. Now, as I look around and look in myself, this is a reminder we need. I can mention at the beginning of this message that many of us are tired, and we understand Bible school does that to us. But as I talk to folks and I look at myself, so many people in our world live almost in a constant state of tired. How are you doing? And in our culture, in our world, I put myself in this group, many of us live pumping caffeine into our bodies to keep us going moment by moment. And I wish I'd been the inventor of energy drinks, because somebody's making huge money off energy drinks and energy bars and all these things that are promising us energy in the midst of being so run down, worn out, that we need these things to help get us through the day or the next hour. And yet, all this time, we have God's presence, God's power, inviting us to trust in Him, to hope in Him, to believe in Him, and let Him give us the strength we need to live faithful lives. Soren Kierkegaard tells the story of a boy who wanted to convince his father that he'd learned to swim. And so he got out into the pool, into a shallow enough area, and he kind of stuck one leg out and kicked, and he paddled with two arms. He said, "Look, Dad, I'm swimming." And his dad said, "I think you've still got one foot on the floor of the pool." How many of us live faith kind of like that? "Look, God, I trust you as long as I don't have to take both feet up. How often do we trust in God enough to hope for good, but not quite enough to fully let go of our need to be in control? And yet God calls us to believe in Him, to trust in Him, to discover that those who hope in God, who wait on God, who trust in God, will discover His strength, His power, and will soar with wings like eagles. Birds weren't created to walk the ground. And we as God's people are not meant to live lives where we feel defeated, where we feel overwhelmed, where we settle, is our thought for reflection today said, for mediocre, when God invites us to experience abundant life. Again, this doesn't mean there aren't problems and struggles, but it does mean as we trust in God, we find that on the mountaintops and in the valleys, God's strength will carry us, lift us, help us find new life, new energy, new beginnings. God can be and wants to be the source of our power, our strength for living. And yet too often, we as the church, we as individual believers, struggle and act as if we're not sure there's any power that can keep us going. We see the needs of the world and we feel overwhelmed and forget that God is the source of power to fulfill His calling in this world. Some years ago, in the midst of the Tournament of Roses parade, everything was moving along nicely until all of a sudden, one of the floats stopped, backing up the whole parade. People jumped under the float, looking, trying to figure out what was wrong with the engine, trying to make it so the parade could keep going, until finally the driver looked down and said, "Oh, I think we're out of gas." Ironically enough, it was the Standard Oil float, proclaiming provision of energy through their company, but not in the gas tank. Until somebody brought some gas, the parade was shut down. How often we try to live the Christian life without realizing that the source of our strength, the source of our hope, is the all-powerful God who created us. We try to live faithfully without recognizing that it's in worship and prayer and Bible study that we discover God is faithful to fill us, empower us, strengthen us, and use us. Even this week in Bible school, to see people step into new roles saying, "Well, I'll give it a try. I'm not sure if I can do that or not." And yet, by saying yes to God, so many different folks found God could use us as we trust in Him, depend on Him, believe in Him. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Such is the promise to us as we wait on God, hope in God, believe in God. God is the Creator, the one who loved us through Jesus, who invites us to hold on to Him and believe. This came alive to me a couple of weeks ago. A few of you have heard this story, and to you, I apologize for telling it again, but it was a Saturday afternoon, and between all the things going on and some other things, I was just feeling overwhelmed and discouraged. Took my dog and walked around the lake in Wood Lake where we live. And the more I walked, the more frustrated I was getting, muttering to myself, feeling defeated, wondering how we go on, what's going to happen, all sorts of questions. I'd walked around the lake, and as I got back almost to my house, I saw a little movement over in the edge of some weeds. And I looked and I saw a mallard duck. And as I looked closer, there were three little baby ducks staying right there with her. And as I looked closely, they decided I was scary and they began to swim away. But in that moment, and some of you have heard me talk a lot about the various creatures in my lake, that kind of stuff just brings such a smile to me. But sitting there and seeing this mama duck and these three baby ducks, it was as if God said, "Don't forget, I'm the giver of life." As if God said, "Don't give up hope, I'm still creating new life." And I can walk around that lake and see reminders of new life. As we pay attention, all around us are reminders of God's presence and the new life He can bring. So let us be a people who trust in God, hope in God, wait for God, and expect God to be at work in us, through us, to be His people in the world. Let us hope in the Lord and find God's strength, God's presence, God's power is sufficient. Will you pray with me? God, You have given us so much. Forgive us for our times of doubt and struggle. Forgive us for our lack of faith, our lack of trust. Draw us deeper into faith. Fill us with a hope that expects You to work. Show us Your goodness. And help us to follow You, depend on You, and serve You in Your power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn is a beautiful and familiar affirmation of how wonderful it is to trust in God. As we sing, I invite you to reflect on how you need to respond to God's voice, inviting you to trust Him. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, and you feel like you're ready to commit your life to trusting in God, following Him through Jesus Christ, I'd love to talk or pray with you as we sing or after the service. Perhaps you're here and you're ready to join this church and be a part of what God is doing here. We would welcome you. Perhaps you simply want to make a prayerful commitment through song in your pew, praying at the front, praying with me. In whatever way God leads you to respond, do so as we sing hymn number 570, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Will you stand as we sing?